Please open your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'What are you doing?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it back here." And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. And they brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coat on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed after were saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." On this day, I'm going to use this set of verses here to preach on the topic, the gospel according to the donkey. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we now commit this time of preaching into thy hands. Holy Father, be thou glorified as thy word is declared. Bless both the utterance as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' holy name I give thanks and I pray. Amen. As it stands now, there are approximately 8 billion people on the face of the earth. And I can say this affirmatively, that for all of us, a vast majority of these persons, we don't know who they are. We have never seen them before. We don't know where they live. All we just know is that they are existing somewhere out there on this planet called Earth. But in this sea of humanity, there are a few persons who stand out. A few persons who are known universally. Now, this is not because they have two heads or because they drop down from heaven like Superman. Rather, the reason they are known is either because of some peculiar endowment, privilege, achievement, or notoriety which they have attained. In essence, since all of us are created in the image and likeness of God, what distinguishes these few persons that are known universally does not come from their physiological makeup, but from what I believe to be a special grace bestowed upon them through the outworkings of God's purpose on this earth. If that grace that catapulted them into the limelight is removed, I believe these persons will be just like any other regular person walking down the street who is basically unknown. You know, this truth is also led through the pages of Scripture. As God, time after time, takes ordinary people and endow them with special grace to achieve extraordinary tasks. And one of the places in the Bible which this truth is kind of unique and depicted is in this narrative of the triumphant entry of our Lord Jesus Christ. First, we have the apostles of Jesus, regular man, group of four fishermen, one tax collector, and a group of other people who were really relatively unknown. Yet they achieved this superstar status because of the association with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this narrative that we see here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, of Jesus' triumphant entry, there is another unsung hero, if I could use that word. One that also came to the limelight because of the privilege of being with Jesus. And this unsung hero is actually the donkey, or what they call the colt. And I believe if this donkey could speak, like the donkey of Balaam in Numbers chapter 22, verse 28, it will reveal to us some profound spiritual truth. But since this donkey cannot speak, I would like to speak on its behalf this morning in what I'm going to call simply the gospel of the donkey, which in this narrative you're going to see profoundly is some spiritual truths that is embedded even in this very unique creature that the Lord Jesus rode on. And this is what I want to lay out for you this morning. Now, let me back up for a minute and set all this in context first. You know, after about 3+ years of crisscrossing the cities and villages of Palestine and a handful of surrounding countries, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and performing signs and wonders, the Lord Jesus here in Mark chapter 11 embarked on his final journey, the journey into the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city of great kings, will soon become the city that will kill the kings of kings and the Lord of lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're told here in the first verse that as the Lord Jesus approached Bethpage and Bethany, which were about 2 miles from Jerusalem, he intentionally stopped because he wanted to do something special. Now, before this time, we believe the Lord Jesus had been to Jerusalem several times in his lifetime. As a male Jew, it is required by the law 3 times a year for every male to present himself in Jerusalem, and the Lord Jesus will have been to Jerusalem several times, though we don't have all those records here. But on this particular time that the Lord Jesus will enter Jerusalem, on this particular time that will lead to the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Lord Jesus will do something special. It will be different. So we're told here that as the Lord Jesus approached on the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples and he gave them instruction. He said, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you untying the colt?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it back here." These 2 disciples, we don't know who they are. So they proceeded as the Lord Jesus instructed them, and they went into the village and they found the colt that is tied by the door, or the donkey, and outside in the street. And they began to untie this donkey. Some of the bystanders, which we believe, according to the Gospel of Luke, was one of the owners, was saying to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. Then they brought the colt to the Lord Jesus. They put their coats on it, and they sat on, and he sat on it. And we're told that many spread their coats on the road, and others spread leafy branches, which they had cut from the tree. And those who went in front of the Lord Jesus and those who followed were shouting and singing, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Now, embedded in this rather simple narrative is what I call the gospel according to the donkey or the colt. A gospel that I believe reveals to us powerful spiritual truths. And you might say this morning, Pastor Wally, what exactly are the spiritual truths that we can glean from this creature, the donkey? First, God elected you before you came to the understanding of who he is or his truth. You want to write that down, loved ones. God elected you before you came to the understanding of who he is or even his truth. I want you to pay attention to this narrative again. Watch the sequence of event here. The Lord Jesus sent two of his disciples to go into the village opposite them. And he said, go into that village. He said, immediately you enter, you will find a colt tied. Now, this is very interesting. He said, when you find this colt tied, this is where you're going to find this colt. Now, Jesus knew this colt. Knew this donkey before this donkey actually knew what was going to happen to it. In other words, Jesus had elected this donkey before this donkey actually realized what was going to happen. Not only did Jesus elect this donkey, Jesus also orchestrated the events to bring about the fulfillment of his election. You pay attention to what I'm saying this morning. That the Lord Jesus orchestrated all the events to bring about the fulfillment of his election, where the disciples will now go and bring the donkey so that Jesus can sit on the donkey. That is a powerful spiritual truth, loved ones, because the same is true for you and I. Do you realize that before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God had elected you? Even in your rebellious state, when you thought you were big and bad to do whatever you wanted to do, the trajectory of God's election for your life has never changed. Like this donkey. You were there and you didn't know Jesus, but Jesus knew you. You didn't know God, but God knew you, and God elected you. And in time and space, he orchestrated events around your life to bring you to the fulfillment of his election. Part of the orchestration was probably he allowed you to be born into a Christian family, that they raised you up in the fear of God and you came to that understanding of his election. Or you failed in your failure, used your failure as a springboard to bring you to himself. Or it was imprisonment, or it was sickness. But God orchestrated, just as in the case of this donkey. You never knew him, but God knew you. And Jeremiah will put it well. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. He said, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I've appointed you a prophet to the nation. The word in the Hebrew, yada, God said to Jeremiah, before you, yada, I knew you. I yada you. I knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. The Apostle Paul will say the same thing. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, he said, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. But guess what? It went to Arabia. Loved ones, did you see what this donkey is teaching us this morning? This donkey is teaching us about God's election and his predestination for your life and my life. That God supernaturally moves, elects us, but supernaturally in time and space, just as he sovereignly chose this donkey, God sovereignly chose you. God chose you before you chose and before you made the decision to come to Christ. And that's good news according to the donkey. The second thing I want you all to glean from this narrative of the donkey that Jesus sat on his days You know, it is only the word of God that can set us free from bondage. Pay attention to what I just said. It is only the word of God that can set us free from bondage. Again, I want you to go back to this narrative again. When the Lord Jesus told these two disciples to go into the village, he said, listen, when you get there, someone will say to you, why are you doing this? In other words, why are you untying the colt? And Jesus said to them, all you need to say to them is simple. The Lord has need of it. And he said, immediately you say that, they will send it back here. Are you paying attention to that? This is powerful because just as you and I, watch this, loved ones, just as you and I, in the same way spiritually, when we were in bondage, like that donkey, when we were in bondage, tied down by sin, paralyzed by iniquity, dead in our sin and our trespasses, Ephesians chapter 2, but God, it wasn't worldly philosophy that set us free from the bondage of sin. It wasn't our good deeds, but rather the word of God that came through the gospel. The word of God that came through the gospel set us free. That is why the Apostle Paul will say, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, he said, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it is the power, it is the dunamis, the power of God. Are you seeing that? This donkey was set free by the word of Jesus. You and I are set free from the captivity of sin, or set free from the pollution of guilt by the word of Jesus through the gospel. What is the gospel? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gospel that breaks the chain. That is the gospel that redeemed you, just as this donkey was released from its bondage by the word of God. Are you saying that? The good news from this donkey was released by the word of Jesus. We too are released from spiritual bondage by the word of Jesus. But not only that, I want to even go a little further with this, because even in our regenerated state, in a state of sanctification, when the enemy comes or seeks to entrap us in sin, guess what still sets us free? Guess what still breaks the bondage of sin? It is the word of Jesus. Bible said, submit to God, resist the devil, and it will flee from you. When we submit to God, we resist the devil by speaking the word of God. Just as Jesus spoke the word of God, even spoke his word to the devil in his temptation, we speak the word of God back to the devil. And once we speak the word of God, the devil has no hold on us, because it's the word of power. It is the word of power. The word of power released the donkey being tied down. The word of power released us from our captivity to sin. Again, I'm talking this morning about the gospel according to the donkey. There's a third thing this morning I want you to pay attention to, everybody, and this is it. It is only when Jesus sits on us that our light shines the brightest. It is only when Jesus sits on us that our light shines the brightest. You know, I want you to watch this narrative. Before this donkey was actually taken and released to go and to taken to brought to Jesus, the donkey was absolutely nobody. Shall I say, a know nothing. Nobody cared about that donkey. Everybody probably walked by that side of that donkey day and night, night and day. Nobody even blinked or looked at that donkey. But the moment the Lord Jesus sat on that donkey, the moment the Lord Jesus began to ride on that donkey into Jerusalem, that people began to throw their coats on the floor. They began to take leafy branches and lay it at the feet of Jesus and began to sing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord." As they began to sing that song, not only did they take notice of Jesus, but they took notice of the donkey. Watch what I'm saying this morning. They took notice of the donkey. The donkey's light was able to shine because Jesus was sitting on that donkey. Watch what I'm saying this morning. This is the good news according to the donkey. The donkey's light was shining because Jesus was sitting on the donkey. And this is also true for each one of us this morning. You know, before we got saved, we were just in the world, living in sin, didn't care about nothing. But then we came to obedience. Jesus called us. Jesus released us from bondage. And Jesus indwelled us with his Holy Spirit. And we became different. The old was past, the new was come. Our co-workers began to look at us because we work differently. We talk differently. Our attitude has changed. Gentleness and meekness has taken over our soul. We are now a different person. And all of a sudden, people start to notice that these guys are different because they've been with Jesus. Even the devil knows that you're different because you now pray more. The devil knows you're different because he knows that you come to church more. The devil knows you're different because he knows that you seek to win souls for Jesus. You see what's going on? But it's the light of Jesus. Is Jesus choosing you? Is Jesus literally or figuratively, shall I say, sitting on you that makes you different? That makes you different. That everybody begin to take notice of you. Everybody is noticing you. But this is especially true for those of us called into this vocation of preaching. I'm going to go there this morning. That before Christ, we were probably a nobody. I know I was a nobody. Before Jesus, I was an absolute nobody. You probably never heard this name before. You probably never saw this man before. But then Jesus called and Jesus gave the unction. He gave the giftedness to stand behind this holy lectern. He gave the giftedness to declare his word. And then I became a oracle for God. God, through his anointing, through his illuminative power of the Holy Spirit, gave utterance in his word. And then you began to notice a man. You began to notice a man, but I'm here to tell you this morning, you didn't notice a man, but you're noticing Jesus. Because Jesus is sitting on this man. Because it is Jesus in me that you are seeing. Jesus in me is the hope of glory. It is Jesus that you're seeing that is sitting on me that's making all the difference. Just like that donkey, the reason you can look at me and listen to me preach every Sunday, listen to me on Bible study on Wednesday and Thursday, is because Jesus is sitting on me. Jesus is sitting on me. That is what the Apostle Paul will now say very clearly to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. It said, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there are many who are not wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, the base things of this world and the despised things God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God." The gospel according to the donkey. Do you see that in this donkey, we see the perfect illustration of the true gospel of Jesus Christ? That you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and through the outworking of God's sovereign will and election. That you today are now set free, are set free from the bondage of sin because of the word of Jesus. And today you are now a difference maker. You are now a workman designed for God's glory. You are now active in kingdom building because of God. Just as this donkey was. It is the gospel according to the donkey. And on this Palm Sunday, it is this gospel that today I believe you and I can rejoice in, because Jesus is actually sitting on us today and his light is shining through us. May God give us the understanding of his holy word. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning, We do honor and thank thee for this opportunity to gather here and to declare thy word. Holy Father, we now pray, may thou bless the declaration of thy word. Everywhere this word will be declared, may thy name indeed be honored and glorified. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen.